McElroy's favorite piece of equipment in a whole radio station is the telephone.
The telephone can be far more useful than a tape machine in that you can travel great distances with it, and you can reach into someone's home and talk with them in a more comfortable manner. And that's really the secret to success when you're interviewing someone, is to make the person you're talking to completely relaxed so that they say what they want to without looking at your eyes, without looking at how you react to what they're saying. Many times people who are interviewed on the telephone will say something really gutsy. They'll really have something to say. Felix Roten is one that I can think of offhand. Commerce Commissioner, John Dyson, is another offhand. They'll have something to say on the telephone, and then you'll talk to them in person. And many times, for whatever the reason, their mind might be occupied with something else, they back off. And the gutsy statement that they were making on telephone just a few minutes earlier suddenly becomes very dull and not meaningful at all.
Do you have any qualms about calling people at home? Do you think that's something reporters need to avoid, or is it a good thing to do?
It's a matter of discretion. When I worked for another station here in New York, I was the early morning man, early morning reporter. And the first part of my early morning assignment was to call people at their home. Poor old Louis Lefkowitz, I used to call him and wake him up. I'm talking about 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning now. And I used to call them at all hours of the morning. Now, I used to worry about that, not to the extent that I wouldn't call them, because it was my job to call them, but I always tried to be as pleasant with them as I could, and I tried to remove as much of the pain of an early morning call as I could. Many times, for example, I'd call up, and man would obviously be tired and not really ready to answer. He was willing to be interviewed, but you could tell from the way he was responding that he wasn't ready to answer. I'd say, hey, look, why don't you have a cup of coffee? I'll call you back in 5 or 10 minutes. You know, give yourself a chance to wake up and open up. Well, that's one way, you know, that you can do it. Calling a person in their home, I don't think is bad if you make the arrangement ahead of time, but personally, I prefer calling them in their office if I can. If I wanted to interview, let's say, John Dyson, I mentioned his name earlier, I wanted to interview John Dyson, and let's say he was in Manhattan now. Rather than take an hour or a half hour to get down to his offices, lower Manhattan, talk with him down there for a while, then take another half hour to come back here, we're talking about an hour to an hour and a half to 2 hours now. In that time, I can be covering 3 or 4 people. Now, that's the speed that you can be developing stories. And when I say developing stories, that's really the key. Anyone can pick up a telephone and call up and get a reaction to something on the wire. There's no big deal about that. Any kid can do that without any experience at all. Many times I will set up in my mind a story and create a story and then set about finding the figures that will make that story come true. And then I contact them, and if indeed the fruit of my story is there, we develop it into a story that no one else in town has. Many times I'll come into the office and I'll try thinking, now, what can I work on today? And you think, well, the economy. The economy's in terrible shape in the United States right now. President Carter is trying to do something about it. I thought, who can I call and get some really good evaluation of what's going on? And I tried thinking of someone not only critical of the administration, but someone who would be rather neutral. And I looked back in my memory, and I remembered Walter Heller, who had been President Kennedy's chief counsel, White House economic advisor. And I had to call all around the country to find out where Heller was working now. He's now professor of economics at Minnesota University. I contacted him. He was surprised and delighted. He gave me an interview. He made a prediction that the prime rate would, in fact, go up to 10.5% very quickly. It was at that time 9.75%. It has now gone to 11%. And so on. He also predicted the dollar would bounce back. He also said that at that time it had not been said. He said he did not think there would be a recession. The chances were less than 50%. I think 2 weeks later on Issues and Answers, he and Alan Greenspan were interviewed together, and Greenspan was saying, I think that the chances of a recession are better than 50%, and Walter Heller at that time said what he had told us 2 weeks earlier, that I think the chances are less than 50%. Then following that one up later on, I thought, well, now look, Heller was, after all, in a Democratic administration. Let's get the other side. So I contacted Greenspan and to develop a story with him. He predicted the prime rate would go up to 12. 2 days later, I think it was the Bank of America, said something very similar, and the prime rate has now gone up to 11, and it looks like it's going up to 12 and possibly more, as Greenspan said. So that's what I mean by developing an idea and getting a story, not just reading the wires or the newspapers and taking their stories.
What happens if somebody says something while they're talking to you on the phone? They say something, and then a couple of sentences later, they say, wait a minute, I didn't want to say that. Erase the tape or something. Will you erase the tape or will you put it on the air?
First of all, if someone says to me, this is off the record, it is off the record. I don't care what they say at that point. I will never use it. If someone comes out and then says, makes some very damning remarks, and then on reflection says, thinks to himself, gee, I shouldn't have said that. That's off the record. I say, no, it's not off the record. Because he didn't tell me it's off the record. It then becomes a matter of judgment, and I decide how important that statement is.
You won't use something just for its shock effect, though?
No, not at all. In fact, I would lean over the other way. If someone embarrassed themselves, many times I will come in and volunteer. Hey, look, that's going to embarrass you. I think we ought to cut that part out, don't you? And they'll agree. I think the main thing is that any newsman who is a good newsman considers news religion. And he would never violate a religion. He's as dedicated to news as most people are to religions, whether we're talking about a newsman or a newswoman now. By the way, I'm talking about a dedicated person. And so people, and there's a great deal of cooperation between news people on a story. We share our stories. We help each other any way we can.